What's up, everybody? David Pollack here of See Ball, Get Ball podcast. I hope you like it, man. Be sure to follow the show wherever you subscribe, YouTube, or any of your other platforms. Welcome on in, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Wrapping up the Big 12 today. We talked a little bit about last show, and now just finishing the conversation. We've also done the SEC. We've done the ACC. We've done the Big 10. So if you guys want to go back and listen to in-depth previews, teams that will take a rise, teams that might take a fall, teams that are going to win the league, go to the playoffs. We've kind of discussed that all throughout the summer. July coming to a close. Camps are about to open. Me and Brent Rollins joins me as always. Going to go to some camps and watch some teams in living color, and it'll be fun to see more. But right now, we're finishing up. Remember, we alternated with the Big 12. We kind of picked, you know, the first place preseason team, the third, the fifth, so on. And now we start today with Kansas State. And this is a team that has been a player perennially in this conference. And kind of last year was talked about as a team that would win this conference. And for their season last year, a disappointing season, I think, for Kansas State fans. They thought they would be a little bit better. But, Brent, I think every conversation with this team starts with the QB, to me. Like, it starts with a guy with experience, a guy that probably wowed and excited as much as anybody at that spot, you know, in the bowl game a couple years ago before coming into last season, and then had a pretty decent season a year ago.
And you see the talent and the running ability as well as the throwing ability. It's just, to me, about consistency with him. And in a week-to-week, being consistent. But also, by the way, it's not just him being consistent. He's got to get more consistency from his playmakers. Because, you know, last season with Georgia specifically, what was the conversation around Georgia as much as anything? The drops and the big issue in terms of drops.
Couldn't catch a cold butt naked in Alaska soaking wet.
Well, it's cold in Kansas sometimes too. And that was the same thing in Manhattan. Because Carson Beck wasn't, in terms of drop percentage of throws that were dropped, it wasn't Carson Beck that was first in the Power Four. Avery Johnson had the highest drop percentage. 11.9% of his attempts last year dropped. So consistency from him, and then consistency from the playmakers. And I think if you see the combination of that, you're going to see a Kansas State team that rises and puts itself in potentially the Big 12 title game.
See, those are the kind of things that Brent Rollins brings to the table that you guys just need to listen up about. Because that's such a good point. Because you look at his – Brent, I go to his completion percentage, and it's kind of like, eh. You know, I mean, obviously 2,700 pass yards, 600-plus rush, so the ability is more than there on the ground, too. 32 total touchdowns, but the number one thing I look at is 58% completion. And that's not good enough nowadays. Like, that's not elite by any stretch. And so can he get just a little bit more from his receivers? Brent, I'm not letting him off the hook either, because I watched.
No.
He leaves plays on the field too. He has misses that you go, that's a freaking touchdown. Like, just put a little more air underneath it, and he'll walk in the end zone. So I think it's a combination, you know, of that. But if his accuracy gets up there to 65%, to 67%, the way he can run the football, the way they run the football, the way they play defense, Kansas State's one. I got five teams, Brent, like five teams that I think are in the mix for the hunt. And this is a team that you have to put, you know, there every single year, basically. But Dylan Edwards at running back, you know, he had almost 200 yards against Rutgers in the bowl game. Shows you dynamic, shows you speed. Him going one way, Avery Johnson going the other way, number two and number three in the backfield, that's a problem. Now, yep. Kleiman prides themselves on the offensive line and the line of scrimmage. And what about the offensive line? Because that's an interesting point for this unit moving into next year.
It's veteran. You look at sort of from a depth chart standpoint, redshirt, senior, junior. Like, it's a lot. They got one transfer that's likely going to start at left tackle. But they also have a new offensive coordinator. With Matt Wells sort of as his first year calling plays. And I also think that with the Avery Johnson conversation, much like we talked about with Taylen Green, because I actually think him and Taylen Green, outside of the size, have similar skill sets. Ability to run, cannons for an arm, that kind of stuff. Much like we talked about with Green and Petrino, helping the QB with some layups and screen uses, things like that. The other one of the bottom of the barrel screen teams, that would be Kansas State. give your QBs, keep giving your QBs some layups, up that completion percentage, try to improve that efficiency and consistency. And they also got the Southeast Louisiana transfer, Antonio Martin, at running back, because they lost Giddens, who was kind of the bell cow for the most part.
Yeah,
he's good. With the change of pace, and Giddens was really good. I think you continuously mispronounced his name last year, and I had to correct you, but that neither here nor there with that. But that's good. But
that's going to happen, too, with guys this year, too. Just go ahead and
gonna,
get ready for them.
Yes, get ready for that. It's going to happen.
Hey, but especially when you talk about their defensive line. What is it, Toby Osunsame? I mean, like something like that, too. So we can get to that in a second, too. Hey, Mr. PFF nerd. How about this? Looking at this and the losses last year during this regular season, Arizona State, Houston, BYU, one touchdown, six interceptions for Avery Johnson. Like, yep, those big-time moments he's got to deliver. And another year under his belt, I think everybody expects him to. The defensive line and the defensive side of the ball, I think, will be experienced. I think it'll be deep. I think this is, you know, they got – you know, that's the guy that I just mentioned, Toby. We're going to go with Toby, by the way, but so I don't have to say his whole name. But, like, linebacker, pretty highly recruited linebacker, moved to defensive end, was the special teams guy, kind of developed. He's a guy that's going to get you probably 10 sacks this year. And that's why I think, you know, K-State is one of the five that are very much battling for this conference, which is the most in any league, by the way. This is the most competitive league in sports. It's the Big 12.
I think you're probably a fan of Austin Romaine, the linebacker. Yep. That's one of the highest graded returning players in all of college.
He just got another tackle.
Despite, by the way, I mean, he made a ton of them, but he missed a ton of them too. But
I love that.
Well, if he improves that, like you're going to see his PFF grade and just all that stuff go even more so through the charts. But game one, we talked about this with Iowa State. You know, being across the pond in Ireland, week zero, you've got to be ready to go out of the gates in a conference game. Not just, you know, somebody that you're playing on a neutral site that might not necessarily affect your conference standings, but in a conference game in that scenario. Because after that, I feel pretty good about their schedule after that. Host North Dakota, host Army, which is always a tricky game, but still
should win. I was about to say, dang, disrespect our country like that.
No, not going to disrespect them. Always a great
go
game.
Go Army, beat Navy. Uncle Gus, love you, buddy.
At Arizona and then UCF at home after the Iowa State game. So if they get the Iowa State game in game one,
5-0, going into Baylor,
and you're feeling like you're a top 15 team kind of thing.
Yeah, you're feeling good about yourself, building that momentum, and then possibly have a big year because they lost. You know, this is the team that they don't get blown out very often. They're in all of their games. They're competitive. They're tough. All right, where are we going next?
Next, we have maybe potentially the biggest heel in the conference. I don't know, because of the money part, but
I feel like this is the new shiny. This is the new shiny pair of boots. Like this is the new ball of the town. We've talked more about Texas Tech than you've ever talked about Texas Tech in an offseason. Like you saw it in softball, by the way. Like they went and spent a ton of money on a pitcher, and all of a sudden they're playing for a national championship. So Cody Campbell's been a talked about guy. He was at Big 12 Media Days, which I find absolutely fantastic. Like, the dude could find a couple $100 million in his couches, and he's wearing blue jeans, which I love, with cowboy boots, just sitting down, kind of kicking it. Like, again,
and the fact that he's there in and of itself is amazing.
Yeah, I've said this for years. The biggest beneficiary in NIL is the state of Texas because the money. It's very fluid there. It's very good. It's nice. And so they went out and spent $55 million, I think, is the last number I saw on their squad to be ultra competitive. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars, actually 240 plus million on their stadium. That's one of the best in the country. So if anybody name me a team in the country more Brent Rollins than Texas Tech that have said all in, like I'm taking off my belt, my belt's in this pot, my watch is in this pot. Like they got everything they own in the pot saying we're going to try to win this league and make a name for ourselves.
I don't know, actually. Is it everything in their pot, or is it just the watch?
Well, for Cody Campbell, God dang, you're right. Jeez, Mania.
But
it might just be the watch.
The thing also, too, is the general manager component of this, and there's been a lot written about him in terms of how they went and got this this roster and how they targeted specific guys within this roster. Like the running back transfer from USC, the Joyner kid, he's going to be good. David Bailey, the edge guy from Stanford, going to be really, really good.
Those are guys that have already been good. Like yes. they didn't get guys that you go, oh, this guy could be really good at this level. Like that's Stanford, that's USC. Like you've already seen that they're really good against really good competition. Like yes, those aren't maybes.
No, not at all. And what's phenomenal about their program and just what this season for them is just the experiment that it is in the new world of college football. Can you actually do this and entrust it to a coach who's, by the way, who does have their quarterback back in Barry Morton? That's a big deal. I don't think – my guess is a lot of this doesn't necessarily happen without him being back because, you know, maybe you got to go spend a lot of that money on the QB spot. But it's just going to be fascinating to watch because, like I even said in the open, the one question to me is, are they literally everybody's Super Bowl because of – like the target potentially on their back is, you know, hey, we know you guys bought your roster. We're taking it down no matter what. That's one where I'm fascinated to watch the entirety of their season.
No, I don't think everybody's looking at him like that. I think everybody's like, oh, wait a minute. Can I come over there and make that money too? I don't think they're upset with it. No, but, you know, listen, everybody starts to get targets on their back or whatever, but Texas Tech, you know, they haven't won a ton. This is not a team that's, you know, dominated this league. So it's going to be interesting to see what they are, but like, you know, they also, you know, made some investment in their coaching staff and they got a new OC and a new DC. Like it's not business as usual. You know, that is new things, you know, and Morton, you talked about him. He's also coming off shoulder surgery. So, you know, he didn't participate in the spring. Loved him at Big 12 Media Days. Just loved his, like, yes, sir, no, sir, smiley, just super happy. Like, I loved his persona and the way he carries himself. But, you know, you got Mac Lefwich, who's coming to call plays. You know, he's a Texan, which is a familiar thing with this roster. Joey McGuire's done a good job of getting Texas guys, Texas high school football coaches, because that's what he is, and trying to recruit and build from the inside. And the dude played at UTEP. But guess who he coached? You know this, and you might know this from your research, but guess who he coached in college, who was a really high draft pick at quarterback last year?
Wow, why am I drawing a blank on this? You got me.
Incarnate Word.
Oh, Cam Ward. Yeah.
Cam Ward. He coached Cam Ward and was in a run hat. He's been in that system where it's pass happy. He's been in the run happy systems. And so I think he'll be a good mix with Morton and this offense and, you know, the transfer hall, that how fast do they morph in and get in? Because you're probably going to have at least 11 starters that are transfers. And that's, you know,
entire defensive line.
Yeah. And Brent, that's the least part I care about. Like, we're big dumb animals. The name of this show is See Ball, Get Ball for a reason. Like, ball move, I move. Like, I don't need a lot of chemistry. Offensive line, you need chemistry. You need to know where that guy is, where the help's coming from, what the front is. Like, defensive line is, I'm kind of lining up, I'm kicking my guy's ace in front of me, and I'm going to get the quarterback. I'm stopping guys. Like, it's just, it's a very easy position to integrate into, and they got some studs. Like, go ahead and list off those studs on the defensive line. They didn't go get guys, Brent, that some people wanted. They went and got guys that everybody wanted and paid them a lot of money and beat out all the big schools for these guys.
Yeah, Romello Height from Tech, David Bailey we'd already talked about from Stanford, and then Lee Hunter on the interior, and Skylar Gil Howard as well on the interior, and Central Florida and Northern Illinois for those guys. But guys that were desired in the portal. Very much so, especially Bailey. And once Bailey put his name in the portal, it was kind of almost assumed that he was going to go to Texas Tech. But it was one of those where they got him first and they kept him. And I think he's just scratching the surface of how good he can be.
They got a new DC too. So this is I mean, it's just a lot of new, man. Like, a lot of new at Texas Tech, and, you know, that's probably why maybe you're not all in on them winning this conference. And, you know, that might be the one thing that holds you back a little bit from going, okay, they're the most talented roster. Like, top to bottom, they might be the most talented roster, but there's a lot to figure out from a play caller standpoint on both sides of the football, and a lot of new pieces. But what do you think about the schedule?
Well, that's the, again, like we talked about with BYU, kind of silver lining. You got Arkansas, Pine Bluff, Kent State, Oregon State all at home in your first 3 weeks before you go at Utah, and then later at Arizona State, later at Kansas State. I think those first 3 weeks and seeing what they are and what they can be, that's going to be big for them, sort of learning, getting the cohesion, getting the chemistry, all that sort of stuff, and finding, you know, you got to build a team. You got to, you know, leaders, all those things that, yes, you do in the offseason, but you got to do it when the games matter too and when they're actually happening.
Yeah, but, man, it's nice to play a bunch of those teams that we were talking about, like the roster turnover and teams that we don't expect a lot from. They've got a lot of those on the schedule. And, you know, this is going to be a really good season. No Iowa State, Baylor, or TCU on the schedule. So expectations should be high for Texas Tech. The chips are in the middle. The watch is in the middle. But obviously there's still a lot more left probably from Cody Campbell. And, you know, they're building this squad. And a lot of excitement in Lubbock. Cool place to play. Crazy atmosphere. I imagine this squad's going to be jacked up and ready to rock and roll. So,
yeah, all right. School's going to be crazy for it too.
Yeah. All right. So next we got
the Utes.
Utah Utes. I got them. What are you doing right there? You got your finger in the air.
I only got one question for Utah.
You only got one with the whole team?
One main one, actually.
Okay.
Is Devin Dampier going to get touched? He's their quarterback, by the way.
Thank you. Break it down. Break it down. Why?
They might have OT1 and OT2 in next year's draft.
They do. They have the best 1-2 punch in all of college football. Like what he just said, like the left tackle that's going to get drafted as the first left tackle, the right tackle. I can't believe, by the way, they're both there. Like that's crazy. But yes, both, you know, Fanu is a man child. Like just, yes. He's the guy that you love to watch play football. Like he doesn't like people. I love that. I want offensive linemen that don't like people, that don't like to be touched, that want to move people against their will. And he is that kind of guy. Like he's fantastic. That's the thing about this Utah offense that I think is going to be absolutely dirty. Brent, I got them in the top five to be contenders for this league. This is my other team. This is my last team that I think can compete because Jason Beck is the OC. He's got an offensive line that we just talked about. And then he's got a quarterback that is absolutely magic. I'm a loser. Yes. I watched his tape. Brent, he can roll. Like, he's hard to get a hand on. The dude rushed for, I think he rushed for 150 a game his last four games last year. And, I mean, he got it rolling. He's big. He's strong. He gets the ball out quick. When you can do that at the QB spot, when you got a good offensive line, when you can run it short yardage, when you can make play after play, I mean, he's got a chance to be super special in this offense with a familiar coach. I mean, he's going to be a problem. Like, Devin Dampier is going to be a problem in this league, bro.
There it is again. I like
it. Yep.
More problems.
I mean, this dude is built.
He's got legit ability, legit two-way ability, not just as a rusher, but as a passer as well. The familiarity with Beck and Fano, I think is how you say it. And then Caleb Lomu as the left tackle. It's as good as it gets. And their schedule, by the way, Texas Tech, Arizona State, Kansas State,
home.
All at home.
Which is a tough place to play. And then obviously at Baylor, BYU, but unbelievable. Start the season with UCLA, old Pac-12, you know, reuniting of UCLA, and at UCLA is a interesting game. It'll be interesting to watch. But I think
Nico, number one.
Yeah, the system, Brent, is cool because it's going to be tailored to the quarterback, which is going to be different from Utah, what you're used to seeing from Utah. Like, it's going to be – the ball is going to be out quick. RPOs are going to be quick. Like, I think you maximize what they have. And then the other side of the football, every year I'm always blown away by Morgan Scally. Like, he's just – he's a good DC. Like, I love his in-game moments, down the stretch moments. You know why? Because that dude against Caleb Williams a couple years ago, I'm watching him. And remember, they played him several times, beat him several times. Like, big time moment, third and long, gotta have it, cover freaking zero. Like, I absolutely love it. Like, he is going to bring the pressure, and they always have guys, they always play physical, they always play tough. They're not very deep at defensive tackle, and they're not very deep at corner. And those are a few spots that I think could impact their season if they suffered an injury. But the Utes are set up with a new system on offense, with a coach that's been there for 6,000 years, and you just know exactly what you're going to get from Whittingham. And this is the last real contender in this league for me. And you know, the offense is going to catch up with the defense this year for the first time in a long time at Utah.
Yeah, this was definitely the leap team for me. In the conference, and it's much as about how bad it was a season ago versus anything else. But the transfer running backs that they got, the kid from Washington State, Parker, and then the other kid from New Mexico that came, those were needed, very very much so. But along with Dampier, I like their roster. I like their schedule. I agree. Utah is going to be back to sort of normal Utah.
Yeah, what you've come to expect.
Speaking of bad, what you've come to expect with Kansas and Rock Chalk Jayhawk is Jalen Daniels, because he's in year six.
He's in year 30. Like, that's the first thing I wrote down. I was like, I wrote down Jalen Daniels. Yes, he's still there. Like, he's been there forever. Like, it's crazy, and he's been fun to watch. Now listen. He's also missed so much time from injury. Like, he's a guy that's been banged up. But you've seen some specialness from this offense with Lance Leipold. Remember Koltunecki, my guy that I talk about all the time. He was there at Kansas, and they had it cooking, and the creativity. And now I think they've kind of found some of that. But having him at QB, man, it just, you know, Neil was an animal. If you watched Neil the last couple of years, like, he was just a workhorse animal, and so. You know, they had a chance. They were physical enough with him and could make plays, and Jalen could be the supplement to it. You know, like, with his injury history and stuff, you got to stay healthy. Close games, by the way, 5 games last year by 6 or less points. 5. Like, and then they go and do something no one's ever done in the history of college football. You remember what they did? No one's ever done it in the history of college football.
Like, completely flipped their schedule, right? They won so much after losing so much in a row. Is that what it was?
They were the first team in the history of football to win 3 consecutive ranked games with losing record. They went back to back to back, winning against top 25 teams with a losing record. So
and spoiled, you know, BYU season.
Yeah, but they're always pretty fun to watch, man. And I think Lance Leipold is an elite coach. Just knows how to use what he has, and he still has Jalen Daniels. So, and another guy that, you know, a transfer, Emmanuel Henderson Jr. from Alabama. Here's what you got that written down for a reason, because here's what Kansas hasn't had. They ain't had that. Like, that's legit. That's a top elite prospect. That's a top 30 prospect in the country coming out of high school. That's elite of elite speed. If the ball skills catch up, they have not had that. And then Daniel, you know, Hishaw, he was ready to step out of – he's ready to step out of Devin Neal's shadow. You'll see him get some touches. And then Iowa transfer, LaShawn Williams comes in. So I think they have a good 1-2 punch of dependability at running back with Jalen, with some speed on the outside. So I look forward to watching this offense. That it's always creative and always fun to watch.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think this is the case. I know I haven't looked at it recently, but I remember – they get back sort of true home games, right? Aren't they back in their sort of normal digs this year kind of thing?
I think that's – they did have some renovations, I know. Big-time renovations.
Yeah, a lot of stuff at Arrowhead. Most everything, I think, at Arrowhead last year. So I think that's sort of getting back home games will be big for their season, big for them. Speaking of home games that have been fun, Colorado, Coach Prime in year two, it was at least interesting. And then they got a lot better, but they no longer have his son, and they no longer have the Heisman Trophy winner.
Two guys with their jerseys retired.
Did you see the joke that Shane Gillis made about that at the ESPYs?
It was pretty good. It was pretty solid. I don't know. Do you remember all the things he said? But like, nobody talked about. Look it up. Look it up. Shane Gillis.
I thought they did something this, and they just went 13-12, and it was. I agree. I was impressed.
It was pretty good hating. That happens with the Rose, but like, I'm pretty interested to watch this squad, and obviously Deion's done it. You know, we've talked about Oklahoma State, and we've talked about Houston, and we've talked about like all the turnover in UCF, like, and we're going to talk about West Virginia here in a second. Like, Deion's, you know, that's what he did a couple years ago. You know, he came in and he cleaned house, and you know, there's no one that's bringing more celebrities to sidelines and excitement. And now you add Marshall Faulk to the running back room, who's a Hall of Fame running back. And since Deion's been there, by the way, they're the worst rushing offense in football the last several years. Like, they're bad at it. So, you know, do they become more balanced now that it's not the, you know, Shador running at the helm, who you trust to throw it, you know, a bunch of times? And can that offense, you know, with Pat Shurmur be good? Because I think I don't think we're still trusting them by any stretch to be, you know, a team that's elite across the board. Like, but they're going to have to be able to score points, and the quarterback spot, probably the most interesting spot on the team.
Yeah. Cause you got Caden Salter that transferred in from Liberty, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And then the true freshman who's from near us in
Georgia,
Carrollton, Georgia,
Juju Lewis,
who can throw it all over the yard. We'll see. I think it's the older, I think the experienced guy gets the nod early, and then once it's their season is not necessarily going the way they think it will be going, then they turn to the young guy. Unless he wants to play both early. I think that's possible as well, too.
Well, the good thing, if I'm a play caller, if I'm Pat Shurmur, the good thing is they're both very similar. Like, they're both very athletic. But, yeah, I mean – Salter has, you know, he's got 8,000 yards on his resume and 77 touchdowns. Like, he's done okay. And you probably brought him in for a reason. I mean, you didn't bring him in for no reason. So I think that, you know, how does this year go for Deion? And now his health's been a big issue too, man. His health is one of the things that's really slowed him down, and he hasn't been as involved as you'd want him to be. But like I said, man, going to a Jack State practice years ago and watching Deion, and like, you know, he does a good job, man. I know people think the flash and the sizzle and the sunglasses and all that stuff, but like, he's making those dudes wear the right things. He's talking to them the right way. He's old school, man. He's trying to get the discipline and the toughness. He's trying to hold them accountable. So Colorado will be another interesting team to watch in this league. Next, we got UC.
The Bearcats. I got not much for you here.
Well, I mean, Scott Satterfield, at least he's starting with Brendan Sorby. You know, having Sorsby at the quarterback spot, like, at least he's got, you know, he was, I saw this when I was just researching. He's one of four guys in all of college football returning with 18-plus passing TDs and 9-plus rush TDs. So, you know, he's replacing his best three wide receivers and a stud running back. So, like, that's, you know, the surrounding pieces you're really worried about. But Scott Satterfield has been known to coach offense. That's his specialty. And I expect that, you know, having the QB obviously is a big step, but disappointing season a year ago for Cincinnati. And defensively, this is the part where it gets kind of scary for them, I think, the most, because the whole secondary is gone. Like, three safeties to the draft, both corners to the transfer portal. So that sucks. When you run a 3-3-5 and you play with your secondary, and that's how you do all of your things, and they all like graduate, go to the NFL and then go to the transfer portal, like, that's not fun. That's the part of college football that you don't realize, man, is a lot of these teams every year having to replace their own guys that step up and that they've developed and they've recruited and put resources yep. into, and they got to say goodbye to them.
The entire receiver room being new also, like, it's just, and that's one of the things you just secondary receiver, you're always replacing rooms. And you might think, hey, I've got this guy coming in, I can get something out of this person, but you might have misevaluated, and you bring in somebody that doesn't fit your system or that just doesn't fit your culture, whatever that may be. I don't think this is one of those. I think this is going to be very similar as last year for Cincinnati.
Yeah. Well, you see that schedule. They open at Arrowhead at Nebraska. And then you got – at least you got BYU, Baylor, Iowa State at home, yep. Utah and TCU away. The schedule's
no Arizona
not murderous
State,
row.
No Kansas State. Like, that's the saving grace, but I don't know how much.
Yeah, no Texas Tech, no Arizona State. Like, they're definitely dodged some players in the league.
They might get the 500 bowl eligible kind of thing because of the schedule.
Oh. All right, let's just get to the next team because I know you're just so excited. Brent is from West Virginia. He has a Rich Rod t-shirt on 80% of the time when I see him. Like, I love Rich Rod. Rich Rod's my man. I think you were at the Georgia bowl game with Rich Rod when they took care of business. Oh, weren't you there?
I was 100% there. And
were you dressed in West Virginia colors?
Yes, I was dressed in West Virginia colors. This was something that many of my folks around here from Georgia that they're like, wait, what? But I had just moved here. So I had previous 23 years of life as a West Virginia fan, and they were coming to play an hour from where I lived. I'm going to go cheer on the Mountaineers. And I did. And they scored 4 touchdowns right in the end zone that I was sitting in the first quarter. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was okay. So, like, do you have any expectations for Rich Rod to bring some of that magic back?
I'd be interesting. If you're
be
looking
fun.
At from the be fun, be interesting, be a pest, be a team that fights like crazy, because I think that's one of the things you look at from the fan base as well as just me watching the group over the past 4 to 5 years. So it's just a lot of meh, and they've kind of. Anybody that get good, they leave. That kind of thing. So get guys, find some level of – and he talked about it when he was on our show about developing the toughness and developing the extra sort of – the hard edge, I think, was his phrase. And they got to get back to that. And they've got an entirely new roster which to do it. Like the – and I mean, it was – 50, 60 guys that are new.
We're not going to go through that because we would literally spend the rest of our show going through that. Like, here's what you need to know. Jaheim White's back.
That's one guy.
Everybody else gone. and Rich Rod, you talk about hard edge. That's the one thing if you're around Rich Rod. Like, Rich Rod is demanding. Like, and I like that. So, you'll have some accountability. You'll have some demanding. But, like, we could go down this list and we could go QBs. Okay, none. Like, whole room.
They'll play three.
Whole four. Offensive line. But can the run get – they have 38 total catches coming back. Like, total. Like, that's just nuts and crazy and unheard of. But Rich Rod specializes in running the football. And having a guy at the running back spot, like, when he was at his prime and at his peak, dude, Noel Devine, right? Like, Slayton. Those were freak show ballers. And – can his offense create space? Because he's the reason the offenses all went to spread. Like, he is one of the founding fathers of that. And everybody else is now caught up. Now, what's his next move? And I'll be interested to watch because he's so innovative and fun. And can he, like, you're spot on, Brent. Can he bring some fun to Morgantown? Because that's a place that's going to be blaring John Denver country roads, and they're going to be burning couches, and it's fan freaking tastic. Like, it's a great fan base that you'd love to see have a reason to cheer.
Yep. And that's be pesky, get better as the season goes on, find something as a team. I think that, and even the next group, the last team that we're talking about is also kind of in that boat as well, a little bit, even though they bring back the quarterback, but that's the Arizona Wildcats. And it's one where there was, with Fish that went to Washington, the new coach with Brennan.
Jed, yeah.
That now taking a step back, but Fifita's still there. Are you pesky again? No Tet McMillan. Do you find a way to be competitive? I think because, again, much like these other teams, now they aren't as much portal heavy as the last few that we've looked at, but it's still, especially on offense, it's a lot of portal guys. It's a lot of new faces.
It is. Brent Brennan was he's at San Jose State, I think, for those years, and just like really, really good coach. Interested, having Fifita back is a big deal. Now, if you could have got T-Mac back and not, he was a first round draft pick at receiver. We talked about him last year before 10. The season, how good he was. He was so good, man. But there's not a whole lot Arizona to talk about, but five home games in the first half of the schedule, which is good. There's the schedule right there, and Hawaii's always fun. You got Houston, you've got Colorado, you've got Kansas, like you got some teams in there, man, that I mean there's some winnable games in there.
Yep.
Like that might be the highlight of the season, because you see Arizona State, BYU, and Iowa State, and Baylor down the stretch. But it's, again, just like a lot of these themes and these guys, like Brent Brennan that's in their second year, like you just want to see improvement. We talked about Willie Fritz. You want to see your squad be, more and more competitive. In Arizona, they weren't that last year, and they were hard to watch at times. And so I think, do you take your step in your direction and be a little bit better and stop the run, please, for God's sakes, because every time I watched them, they were getting ran on.
All right, so of those last four that we just talked about, so Colorado, Arizona, West Virginia, and Cincinnati, do any of those four teams knock, kind of get a big victory over those top five contenders that you have ingrained?
Because
I don't see it. I think the bottom of the league this year is going to be the bottom of the league kind of thing. I think there's clear separation.
Well, are you going to throw Houston, Oklahoma State? I mean,
yeah, those two. Like we talked about the other day, are they going to get one of the bigger teams?
I feel throwing Oklahoma State and Houston in there too. I don't really feel any differently. I couldn't answer
UCF.
UCF, yeah, I couldn't answer that quite like that's. I couldn't say that any one of them are going to get somebody, but that's the beauty of college football, right? Like that's, playing at home, nothing to lose. A lot of times, like Juju's an elite talent, at the quarterback spot for Colorado. Like they're still going to have some elite dudes. And I think that, that offense has been fun to watch the last couple years. Obviously they're missing a lot of pieces, but he was as hyped as anybody coming out of college football. So maybe they have the guy that can run and throw and put together a 100-plus yard rushing game and a 250-yard passing game and get you beat one night. That's the hard parts. But that, this league definitely is probably it's very interesting at the top and the bottom about what we're gonna get from. But I got five.
What do you got?
Are you okay with me with five contenders in that league? Were you okay with that list I had?
So you had Arizona State, Baylor, Iowa State, Kansas State, and Utah. Was that your five? No, not Iowa State, but Texas Tech instead of
Correct.
Iowa State.
I didn't put Iowa State in there. Are you going to put Iowa State in that conversation?
No, I think they're the sort of comeback down to earth team. I do think the championship participants come from your five that you've listed. And for me, I think it's going to be Arizona State and Baylor.
I like it.
And the reason I say that is mainly because I like Baylor's schedule better than I like anybody else's schedule, because they get
the
other guys.
So you got TCU as your team to jump, but you're jumping on my Baylor squad to go try to get in the championship game.
I just – it's the schedule part. I think – I got TCU as my team that I think the QB's getting not talked about enough. But in terms of who's going to end up being in the championship game, I do think it's going to be Baylor, just because they get Arizona State, Kansas State at home, and Utah. And they've kind of avoided a couple of the others.
I don't feel the least bit confident saying anybody besides Arizona State.
Yeah.
Like I'm ready to put Arizona State in there. It's kind of like the SEC. Like I really feel Texas is the best team. Like they're the team with the least amount of flaws. The quarterback position I feel good about. Like the experience coming around I feel good about. But I do think Baylor. I think if you're leaving Utah out, I think you're wrong. Like I think they're very much in this hunt with the physicality that they're going to play with on both sides of the line of scrimmage, with a QB that can dance and can run people over if he needs to, but just has experience. Like he's just going to be when have you seen that in Utah? Like you got a little bit of that with flowing locks. You know, you got a little bit of that, but obviously the injuries, you know, was too much of a deal for
an age. He got up there in an age.
Yeah, I guess you get hurt when you geriatric knees. But I think it will be, you know, I think that will be fun. And then Texas Tech, the reason I can't pull the trigger and put Texas Tech in there, I can from a talent standpoint, but like I talked about, just all the newness. And yeah, I know they got some time to figure it out, but
we're going to be watching, that's for sure. And there's going to be some great football games. Some great football games.
If you're not, like, just watch this league, man. Week in and week out, it's probably the most fun league. It's the most competitive league, and you know it's super. It's why Memphis wanted to put in $200 million to come join it. They want to join the party.
Do you think they get more than one in the playoff?
Yes. Yes, I'll give you two this year.
Okay, so you think both of the championship game participants end up in the playoff?
Well, here's the thing. Like, that's the beauty of this, too, is you just got to win it when you get there, too. And if you can win it, you're in it. So I'll give them two this year. I think they're going to get two in.
Okay. But, and by the way, if Baylor wins those first two games against Auburn and SMU, that helps that cause a lot.
And Auburn's bringing a lot more newness to the table than Baylor. SMU is bringing a lot more newness to the table than Baylor. Like, that Baylor's got a lot of – I know what I'm getting, and I think that's going to bode well. But that's the Big 12. We're in the 30-something day countdown now. I don't know what it is exactly, but we're like 32 days.
Yeah, you're like 31-ish, right around
31 days till college football, till we all get to finally have that excuse to sit on our couch and get fat, and our wives won't yell at us, which is absolutely outstanding. So, again,
fat, by the way. And you're going to sit in the couch.
We'll get back here and get in the lab and do more sitting down and breaking down games because we love it, man. We love this sport. It's the greatest sport on the planet. Appreciate you, Brent, like always, and we'll see you guys next week.